Arts at Vancouver Chinese Alliance Church. And while she may be serving in the area of worship, she's actually also a very gifted preacher. And so this morning we are very privileged to have her with us, and she'll be sharing with us. So, Zion, why don't you come on up and let's pray for you, and then we'll let you share gospel with us this morning. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your servant, Zion. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for just blessing her with the ministry you've called her to. And Lord, we also thank you for the giftedness that you've blessed her with. May she use that gift today to just shape us, mold us, convict us even maybe, and challenge us. Father God, we pray that we would have hearts to hear, ears to listen, and just that we would be able to receive your word to us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. I want to tell a story. This is a story about a prankster who broke into a hardware store one night. And the next morning, when the owner of the store discovered the break-in, he went over the store for a quick inspection. And it appeared nothing was lost. The goods were all the same, resting on the same shelves as the night before. So the owner continued to open the door for business for that day. Then the first customer showed up at the cash register with a hammer. And he was yelling really, really loudly. And he said, "Hey, what's going on? I can't believe it. $199 for a hammer? You think it's made of gold or silver?" Then the owner went for a thorough inspection and found out that a big screen TV in the appliance section was selling for $14.95. And a trash can cost $100. A microwave has a price tag of $5. The goods were all the same, but the price tags have all been swapped. Things that should be cheap becomes expensive, and things that should be expensive become unbelievably cheap. You know what? Sometimes Satan likes to do the same to us. We go through life with mixed up price tags on our values and our accomplishments. We assign the wrong value to who we are and what we have. And oftentimes, we assign the least values to God, who deserves our highest praise and honor. Now, let me give you an example. How would you introduce yourself to someone you first met? Well, imagine you are a grown-up, okay? And you want to leave your friend, your new friend, a very good impression. You would definitely tell him or her something impressive about yourself, right? Say, if you have a high-paying job, or if you have an impressive occupation, or if you work at a prestigious company, you would definitely relate that to your new acquaintance. It sounded as if your value is equal to how much you own, or how much you have accomplished, or how much money you have. I don't think anyone would introduce themselves in this way. "Hello, my name is so-and-so, and I am a child of God." Would you say that to a new acquaintance? Or you come up to someone you don't know and you say, "Hello, my name is so-and-so, and I'm a citizen of heaven." Would you be saying that? If you heard people introducing themselves this way, you probably think they are nuts. would having anything to do with God be something impressive? Would having a relationship with Jesus Christ make people look up to you? Now, one more question. What is most valuable in your life? Is that your laptop? Is that your iPhone? How about that? Yes? Someone said yes. Is that what's most valuable? Or what about this? Wow. Anyone driving a convertible? Now, this morning, we're going to look at one person, and that person is the Apostle Paul. You know what price tag Paul has? We can actually find out from our scriptural passage this morning. And let's read that out loud from the screen. Philippians 3:7-8. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. You know what? In Paul's heart, he's putting the highest value in knowing and gaining Jesus Christ. Now, from these two verses, Paul is actually declaring to the whole world that things he considered to be beneficial to him in the past, now, because of Jesus Christ, he would consider them as loss. Not only that, but he considered everything in this world as rubbish when compared to knowing Jesus Christ. But what was beneficial to him in the past? Let's take a look at verse 5 and 6 of this chapter 3, and you would be able to find the answer. Verse 5 and 6 read, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Now, here, Paul was telling us about his background and his identity. He is a pure Jew, and he speaks Hebrew. He was raised following all the Jewish custom, and he was circumcised when he was 8 days old. He belonged to the Benjamin tribe. And you know what? There's a king who is a Benjamin. His name is King Saul, and he's the first king of Israel. And some of you would remember, before Paul was converted, he was called Saul. And probably because of all these reasons, he's very proud to be belonging to the Benjamin tribe. Now, verse 5 also tells us that Paul is a Pharisee. Pharisees are known to be strict followers of the law of Moses. In everything they do, they abide with every law laid down by Moses. And Paul thought he was pretty faultless in this respect. Well, other than verse 5 and 6, from elsewhere, we got to know a little bit more about Paul. Paul was born in the city of Tarsus. And in those days, Tarsus is one of the most cosmopolitan cities in the region. And in addition to being Jews, Paul and his parents were also Roman citizens. Now, in those days, even though Judea was within the Roman Empire, most Jews were not Roman citizens. Roman citizenships were only reserved for people who made great contributions to the empire. So we can presume that Paul's parents were people of influence, or they even might be very, very highly cultural, or even very wealthy. At the age of 14, Paul was sent to Jerusalem to be trained as a rabbi, and his teacher was a prominent man with the name of Gamaliel. And from Gamaliel, Paul learned almost everything about being a Jew. Not only that, Paul's parents also sent him to the Tarsus University to learn about Greek culture. So Paul not only became very educated, and he came from a rich family. He's very knowledgeable. So that's pretty impressive, isn't it? Now, we have a better picture of what Paul meant when he said, whatever was to his profit in the past, now he considered as loss. Those things that we mentioned just now, his family background, his Roman citizenship, his family wealth, his knowledge of the Hebrew and the Greek culture, all these impressive privileges and qualifications are like junk and rubbish to him. Now, let me ask all of you this question. If you were Paul, would you have said the same thing? Say, you have your university degree. You've earned your ARCT in piano. Or you might have a scholarship waiting for you. You have all these. Those are your privileges. Those are what you earned. Whatever was your privilege, would you consider those as rubbish now, just to know Christ and make Christ everything in your life? I think it's very hard to comprehend things like that. And you probably would wonder, something big must have happened in the life of Paul to cause him such a drastic change. And you are right. If you read verse 6 of chapter 3, Paul declares he was zealous in persecuting the church. And if you know the story of Paul's conversion, you would remember, while he was on his way to prosecute the disciples of Jesus Christ, he was converted. Acts chapter 9 talked about the whole story. And when he walked past Damascus, he met the risen Christ. Paul heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And it was Jesus Christ talking to him. And from that time onward, his whole life has changed. His purpose in life was to know Jesus Christ. Now, just now we already counted all the things that Paul considered as rubbish for the sake of Christ. Now, that's one more thing we forgot to look at. I guess when Paul decided to follow Christ, his parents may not be able to understand why he has to do that. Because his parents are Pharisees, and just like Paul before his conversion, they probably hated those who followed Jesus. But now, their son became one of them. This might make them so mad that they wouldn't want to have anything to do with Paul. They might even disown him. And as a result, Paul not only lost his relationship with his parents, he probably lost all his family inheritance, as well as his prestigious Roman citizenship. And when you add all these up, that's a lot in most people's eyes. But in Paul's eyes, all these worth nothing when compared with knowing Jesus Christ. Sometimes it takes a drastic turn of events to alter our perspective, just like Paul. Let me share a story. A Christian lady just walked off a plane. But instead of entering the airport through an enclosed walkway, she stumbled off the plane and she lost her purse. She was thousands of miles away from her house. She has no money, no ID, and no dry clothes. Now, under normal circumstances, she would have been furious. And you probably would be too, if you were her. But she just survived a plane crash. And she didn't die. she could walk off from the plane. And later on, she shared with her husband what she felt. And she said, even though I have nothing at that moment, but I wasn't angry, I still have my life, and Jesus Christ is living in my life. He's taking care of me and guiding my thoughts and my deeds, and that's good enough. Having Jesus is like having everything. Now, I'd like to ask all of you a question. What is most valuable to you? Think. Your laptop? That again? Let me tell you, if it's material things, when your life comes to an end, everything you own materially, no matter how hard you work for it, would become rubbish. By then, you would realize the best thing in your life has nothing to do with material stuff. This is like what Paul says in verse 8. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Who's first in your heart? Who's first in your life? Is that your mom and dad? Your brother and sister? Or yourself? I don't know how much you value your relationship with Jesus Christ. Say, when you have an hour, what would you rather do with that 1 hour? Would you rather spend that on video games? Or would you rather MSN on that hour? Or would you rather spend time reading the Bible and pray? What would you pick? Now, let me share a story. A man was sitting by himself at the table for two. He's been sitting and waiting for the past half an hour. And a waiter came and asked if he could take his order. And this man said no. He would wait a little longer. So the waiter just filled the man's cup with coffee. Okay, half an hour later, the waiter came back and asked, is there anything I can get for you, sir? And the man answered, no, thank you. And the waiter then said, I don't mean to pry, but why do you bother waiting for her? And this man answered, because she needs me. The waiter asked, are you sure? And he said, yes. And the waiter said, she stood you up 3 times just this week. And the man looked down and said, yes, I know. Then the waiter said, why do you still come here and wait? And the man said, she said she'd be here. Then the waiter said, but she said that before. I wouldn't put up with it if I were you. But why do you? And the man looked up at the waiter with a smile, and he said, because I love her. The waiter then walked away to serve other customers, and the man still sat at his table for two. He thought of the many things he wanted to say to his date, but he was mostly looking forward just to hearing her voices, telling him what happened during the day, her triumphs, her defeats, or anything, no matter how trivial. Even though this girl has stood him up before, but he still can get used to that. Every time it hurts, yet he looked forward to this evening all day. He tried many times to show his date how much he loved her. He just liked to know that she cares for him as well. He hopes she would show up soon. Ding dong, ding dong. The clock strikes 9:30, and the waiter returns to the man's table, still with one empty chair. And the waiter asks, "Anything I can get for you, sir?" And the man said, "No, I think that will be all for tonight. May I have the check, please?" And the waiter brought the check. The man has enough money to give his date a very fancy feast, but he only took out a couple of dollars for the 5 cups of coffee that he had, and the tips as well. And his heart was aching. He wouldn't understand why his date would do this to him. And as he was walking out, he stopped at the front and made reservations for tomorrow. He thinks maybe she'll be able to make it tomorrow. So the hostess confirmed, 7 o'clock tomorrow for a party of 2? And the man replies, "That's right." The hostess doesn't mean to be rude, but she asked, "Do you think she'll come?" And the man replied, "Someday, yes. And I will be here waiting for her." End of the story. Now, it seems like an ordinary story, but it's more than that. In the story, the man is God, and we are his dates. God desires us to build a loving relationship with him by reading his word and praying. He cares about how we think, what goes on in our lives. Just like the man in the story. He hurts deeply when we don't show up or when we stood him up. We can always say, "Oh, I'll do my devotion tomorrow," or "I need to do this and that tonight," or "I know Jesus would forgive me." But don't you know that he waits for you to come and spend time with him? He wants you to know him more. He wants you to know how much he cares and he loves you. Now, let's look back at our scriptural verse this morning. Paul considers everything a loss compared to knowing Christ. To put it another way, he'd rather have Jesus than anything else in this world. And in fact, everything else and whatever was profitable to him in the past, now he considered them as rubbish. All he wants is to know Jesus Christ. Now, come my question. What would you rather have? Is something worth thinking of? I hope your answer is Jesus, and I hope you would set your priorities right and be willing to spend time with God every day, getting to know him more, because he cares and he loves us tremendously. And he's waiting for us to tell him our triumphs and our problems. Nothing is too trivial for him. Just now, we sang an old hymn, "I'd rather have Jesus." And this man called George Beverly Shea composed the melody for this hymn. I'd like to share a little story about this hymn and George. Before this became a hymn, it was just a poem written by a lady called Mrs. Rhea Miller. And this poem somehow appeared in a magazine or a newspaper. And George's mom had a habit of collecting good poems and articles. So she clipped this and put it in her scrapbook. And George was a pastor's kid, and he was poor. He attended college for 1 year, but he has to quit because he has no more money to do so. So one day he was home, and he just walked up to his mom's piano, and he found this poem, "I'd rather have Jesus," on the piano rack. And as he read through the poem, he was so touched by it that he sat down on the piano and he began singing a melody that goes with the words. And it became the hymn, "I'd Rather Have Jesus," that you guys just sang. And in some ways, George's life was changed by this hymn as well. Just now I told you George was so poor he couldn't continue his education. But he has a very good voice. So one day, he was singing as a soloist in another church. And someone from the radio station heard him sing. And this man quickly approached him and invited him for an audition to be a singer in a very famous nationwide radio program. If George gets this job, he would have lots of money. And also, everyone in the whole country would know him as well. So he went, and he passed the audition. But he has no peace in his mind. Even though he got the job offer, he declined. Now, people in this world probably might think that he's stupid. But he's living out what the hymn said, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand." Verse 2. "I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name." Now, before I end, I'd like to share a song. And the title of the song is "Give Me Jesus."
In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all. When I am alone, oh, to die. Oh, and when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus.
You know, I was thinking, if the Apostle Paul knows this song, he would be singing that as well, because it truly reflects his heart and what he meant in Philippians 3, 7-8. Let's think about that line again. You've heard it many, many times in the song. You can have all this world. And it was sung 3 times just now at the very end. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. But give me Jesus. Isn't that the same as treating everything as rubbish for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ? Now, I want all of you to take a look at your bulletin again. You all have your bulletin? Under the sermon title, I'd rather have, that's a blank there. I'd like to ask, what would you fill in? I'd rather have, what would you fill in? I want all of you to pray, and I pray that your answer is Jesus. Can we all bow our heads and pray? Dear Heavenly Father, it's a privilege that we can be called your children. It's a privilege that we get to know you. And what wonderful blessing that you have given each of us, your grace and your mercy, that we can sit here without disturbances to worship you, that we have food to eat, we have roof about our head, all these that you have given us, that we don't have to worry about anything. Lord, free us from the things that attract our mind, that are not pleasing in your sight. May we be like Apostle Paul, that we would want and be rather have you in our life, you and you alone. May the thought of you and may your spirit fill our hearts today and also from this day onward, that we will truly be your faithful follower. Thank you for listening to your prayer, to our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Zion, for sharing the word with us this morning. It definitely is a good reminder, again, just again, what our priorities are, especially in the summertime when, you know, we have a lot more free time on our hands. You know, this is a time that we can kind of take stock and just kind of reflect again, what is it that truly that we'd rather have in our lives this morning. At this point, we're going to receive the offering, and I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward. Okay, we'd like to pray for the offering this morning. Father God, we just thank you again for today. We thank you, Lord, again of a reminder of what a transformed life because of your love looks like. You know, we look at the Apostle Paul, who was so blessed in many ways and even prideful in many ways. And yet, Lord, when he came to an all-changing, transforming encounter with you, and Lord, that he gave it all up and counted it for loss, but rather the gain was to know you. And Father, when we know you, Lord, you change our lives. You transform the way we look at things and the way we value things. And Lord, as we come before you now to just give of our offering to you today, I pray we would give joyfully. We would give all that we have because you are the one who gave it to us first, that we look at this in a different light. So I pray, Lord, that what our offering will be today will be used again for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, will you rise with me and stand with me this morning as we conclude our service with a word of benediction? And it'll be from Philippians chapter 1 and a reading from verse 19. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will be in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage. So that now as Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let's pray. Father God, we just pray, Lord, that this benediction this morning, these words of Paul, a man who sacrificed it all for you, I pray, Lord, this will be a word that we take in our heart as well, that we are willing to say these words. And Lord, that you truly are the one who gives us the reason for our living. And Lord, as it says, that we pray that we would be able to be people who are able to say that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Be with us now, Lord, as we carry on for the rest of the afternoon. Bless us and continue to lead us and help us, Lord, to put you first in our heart for the remainder of this week. We ask in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so VBS is going to start in about 10 to 15 minutes. All the volunteers and actors, please go get dressed up, and all the kids get ready for VBS.